the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good. It has been good once again to all of us. If we're here, He has been good. If we're not here, He has even been better because He has taken you out of all of this. Let me start off by wishing the fathers a happy Father's Day if I didn't individually greet you with that.
All right.
And you know, it's kind of funny how that the difference that's made between Father's Day and Mother's Day. Fathers just don't seem to get it like mothers get. I noticed that many people wear flowers on Mother's Day. Not that many people wear flowers on Father's Day. I'm hoping it's not an assessment of the fathers. I think it's just society has pushed it that way. But above all, we know, as I always say, that this is the Lord's Day, first of all and foremost. And we need to keep that in its proper perspective. But this is the Lord's Day. God is good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. So with that, Brother Mobley did such a wonderful prayer. I don't know how much I can cover in my prayer. He covered it all. Thank you, Brother Mobley. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, O Lord, that You have blessed us. We thank You that You have privileged us. And we thank You that You have opportuned us that we may come into the household of faith in order to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Thy will, that You would accept our services this morning, and that they may be found decent and acceptable in Thy sight. We thank You for all of those who have come out this morning. We thank You for the fathers as well as the mothers. We thank You for the children also, O Lord. And we just thank You, Father, because without You, we are nowhere and we are nothing. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us. We pray for the sick and the shut in. If You'll, Father, I know You know who's sick already. And, Father, we're asking You to continue to bless them with Your healing finger, if it be Your will. Father, we pray for those who are traveling today that they may have safe passage. We pray for those who may be traveling on their way to the church house, O Lord. Give them also safe passage. We pray and ask You to be with those this morning, Father, who are not as blessed as others. Continue to bless each and every one of us as You see fit. We pray for the people who are going through bad and troublesome weather right now, O Lord. But we know that You are in charge of the weather, and we're just asking You to give comfort to those who are flooded, those who are home wrecked and fire burned out. We just thank You, O Lord, and we pray and ask You to give blessings to them. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into our services, we continue to ask for all the blessings that You see fit to give us. And we continue to thank You for the blessings of yesterday, pray for the blessings of today, and ask You for the future blessings of tomorrow. Father, it is in Your Son Jesus' name, who went to the yonder's cross, that we ask all these blessings. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Luke chapter 6 and verse number 36. Luke 6 and verse 36, where it says, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." Fathers are supposed to be the example setters in their household. Problems always seem to set in when there is little or no father to be an example setter. Either because of the death of the father, absenteeism, or just plain I don't care attitude. Fathers of today should be thankful that God has given them the blessings of being a father. Every man has not this privilege and this blessing. Fatherhood is a union of parents and child or children. And so we need to understand that it is definitely a privilege to be a father, as well as being a mother. But in particular today, we're on fathers. So let us look at our subject today, our Heavenly Father. There's little doubt that our Heavenly Father knows how to love us. He has and He continues to show us each and every day that we live. When you look at Romans chapter 5 in the verses number 8, we find that God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Then in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There should be no question that God loves His children. Today, children should never have to doubt whether their earthly fathers love them or not. Does a father have troubled times in his life? Are there times in his life when he doesn't understand the actions of his children? You better believe it. He does, but he still must love them as God loves us. As God's children, do you think we've made the Lord angry at times? I suggest to you that we have made the Lord angry at times, but He still loves us. But He loves those who are His. In Psalms chapter 7, in the verse number 11, the Bible says, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked. He giveth unto us, He grieved us in Genesis chapter 6. According to the text in Genesis 6:6, He became sorry, or He was sorry that He even made man. But in John 4:8, as fathers, we need to be mindful of how the Lord loves and continues to bless us. So we must treat our kids in a loving manner as well. Love is everlasting. I would ask any father who does not love his children, I would ask them, why not? Some may answer and say, I didn't ask for them in the first place. So to them I would say, do you not understand the birth process between male and female? If you lay down with her, there's a distinct possibility that she may get up with child. But still, some fathers don't accept their position as fathers. They don't want to be saddled down with the responsibilities of being a father. They don't want to be responsible for any child because they're not yet responsible for themselves. Sometimes, when we look at fathers who are absent in the home, we see troubled kids. We see a troubled spouse or a troubled female from which that child came from. But I say to fathers this morning, we have to be just like our Father in heaven is. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We've got to learn to love and accept our children. There are too many children running around that will tell you from day one, I don't know my father. I don't know who my father is. I don't know where my father is at. But you can always find our Heavenly Father when you go to Him in prayer. I love the fathers of old, of the years gone by. I love those fathers because they are good fathers. I love those fathers because they were fathers that should be reckoned with. They were fathers who knew what to do for their children. And those fathers, for the most part, they knew how to be fathers. Now, I'm not saying that fathers today don't know how to be fathers, but I believe there's an example set by the fathers of old. You know, and I try to tell people this all the time. Those fathers of old, they didn't try to be friends with their children. You can't be friends with your children. It's not necessary to be the most popular father in the neighborhood. It's better to be the most loving and caring father in the neighborhood. Many fathers get it twisted when they equate fatherhood with popularity. You don't need to be popular with your kids. That's why I like the fathers of old. Fathers have to learn to accept the fact that the relationship between fathers of old was simply father first, children second. Fathers of old never ask your opinion of how you should be punished. Parents today sometimes ask their children, how do you think you ought to be punished? And if I'm a child and you're asking me that question, I'm going to take the least point of resistance. And I'm going to say, don't do nothing to me. But see, now I tell you how it worked with fathers of old. Fathers of old simply gave you a warning. They just told you, they said, don't do that anymore. And if you continue to do that, guess what came next? It wasn't an opinion, and it wasn't your opinion. It was his decision to put you in check. And most of the time, that meant with the belt or with a strap. Sometimes even with a razor strap, if you look back in history of our fathers. Fathers of old had that one punishment, that one warning, and then came the belt or the switch. So it is with most of us. When your children are growing up, don't give them the choice of punishment. I think that if I just take your telephone, you'll be all right. No, he needs some correction. Because see, if you take the telephone, he still has the computer. And if you take the computer, he still has the telephone. So you've got to learn to be as the fathers of old, fathers of today. You've got to accept the fact that when my father and your father you were coming up under our fathers, they didn't give us that option. But at the same time, many of us never had to doubt whether the father loved us or not. We never had to doubt the love of our fathers. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. He will be there. Look over with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, I believe it is. Romans chapter 8 and verses number 38 and verse number 39. The Bible says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, no help, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, when you have a good father in the family, you never have to doubt whether father loves you or not. You never have to second guess whether your father's love is real or not. Fathers of old were those kind of fathers. But nevertheless, I know what some may say. Preacher, times have changed. And we can't do what we used to do. The government says that I can't punish my children corporally. They say that I must do something in a different manner than the way that my father and your father punished you. They tell us that the old strap method doesn't work anymore. They tell us that if you do that, you might get locked up. They tell us that if you do that, we'll take your children from you. But I suggest to all fathers today, do what's right by the Word of God. If the Word of God tells you to punish them, you spare not the rod. Our Heavenly Father, according to Luke 6 and verse number 36, is merciful. He's full of mercy. Fathers should strive to be role models for their children, so that when they grow up and become fathers themselves, they will have an idea of what a father is supposed to be like, what he is supposed to do, and what he is supposed to give to his children. Are you familiar with the text of Matthew chapter 6 and starting around about verse number 25, where Jesus speaks of concerning how our Heavenly Father cares for us? He starts off by saying, "Therefore, take no thoughts for your life. Don't worry about it." A father should not leave the responsibilities upon his children to concern themselves about food, clothing, or drink. A father who has God as an example will train up and care for his children like the Lord cares for us. Our Heavenly Father has mercy, and His mercy is enough to save us, according to Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. His mercy saved us. According to Malachi 7 and 18, His mercy forgives us. According to Psalms chapter 51, His mercy restores us. And according to Psalms 108 and verse number 4, His mercy is endless. That's way a father's love for his children and his mercy upon his children should be. To fathers today, I ask the question that you need to ask yourself. Have you been merciful to your children? And I know there are some parents who beat first and ask questions later. Now, I know that's not necessarily the proper way to do it, but you've got to know your children. And you know, it's been said that every parent knows his child best, his or her child best of all. And I believe that should be a fact. You should know your child. But if you don't spend any time with him, you're not going to know him. If you don't spend any time around your children, if you are a pop-in dad, as I like to say, you pop in every now and then. That's not being the kind of father that the Bible speaks about when it says your father is therefore merciful and we should be merciful as he is. You've got to be a full-time dad. Sometimes when my father used to come home, I'd be so glad to see him, but I'd be also ready to get outside and play. But that didn't mean I didn't love him. That simply meant I knew what my place was. He had just came from work. He was ready to eat, and he didn't want anything in his way. But then, when you think about it, we need to ask ourselves another question. What kind of children will my children grow up to be if I'm not a full-time father? What kind of children will I be raising if I don't care about them? And I'm going to tell you something here. Due to popularity, a lot of folk think that, due to popular opinion, a lot of folk think that that means buying your kids everything you can afford to buy them. That's not what that means. That's not necessarily a good thing either. Because you can kill your kids with kindness, but does that mean that you love them? See, sometimes we buy all this stuff for our children to get them out of our way. Sometimes we buy all this stuff for these children so they won't bother me later on. I got to go in here and watch the boxing match. I don't want them coming around me bothering me. So you give them things. But that's not the way a good father ought to be. Our Heavenly Father always has had our best interest at heart. We are told in the words of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36 there, to be merciful as your Father also is merciful. Fathers must learn to be merciful to their children as God is merciful to His children. An example of a caring father who sought the Lord can be found in Luke chapter 8, starting around verse number 41. It tells of a man who was a ruler of the synagogue, of a synagogue. But he, in humbleness, came before Jesus. The Bible says that he fell down at the feet of Jesus. He went to Jesus on his daughter's behalf. His daughter of 12 years of age was dying. And he wanted to see if he could save her. So when you look at Luke chapter 8, starting around verse number 41, and then fast forward to verse number 49, somebody told this father that his daughter had died. But there was a father on the scene, and he wasn't going to give up because somebody said that his daughter had died. He wasn't about to trust in anyone but Jesus. Sometimes fathers have to avoid the obstacles that prevent us from going to the Lord. When people tell us what they feel is the right thing to do, consider how that the Lord is the best source for whatever we need. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. That's what Jairus, this man, this father did. He wanted it, or he went to Jesus. And the very next verse of Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 8 says, everyone that asks, receives. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. Fathers, if you have not found
what you need. Perhaps you have been going to the wrong source. Perhaps you need to watch this continuing saga in Luke chapter 8 there. And this man was not about to let anybody get in his way. So Jesus spoke to him. And he spoke to this father. And he simply said, I like what Jesus told this man. He said, weep not. Don't cry. Don't weep. She isn't dead. She is sleeping. Jesus called the child. When Jairus took him to his home, he called the child. He said, maid, get up or arise in verse number 54. That's the power of our Heavenly Father working through His Son. All I'm saying is that Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I tell you something, church. If you don't know the source to go to, you'll never get the right results of what you're looking for. If you needed an automobile part and you went to CVS, chances are you're not going to find an automobile part in CVS. You need to go to O'Reilly's or Advanced or AutoZone or somewhere like that. So if you're going somewhere other than the Lord for your answers on how to be a good father, you're going to the wrong source. How to be a good and a merciful father. How to be the father like your heavenly father is. How to be the kind of father that your children would be. You know, there are some children, they're not thrilled about calling their fathers today. You know why? Because some of them don't like their fathers. Some of them don't love their fathers. Others don't know where to find their fathers. But you know, I'm so glad this morning that all of you who are in here this morning appear to be godly fathers. And I pray that you continue to be godly fathers. I pray that you would be merciful like your Father also is merciful. To be a good father, we must learn to put God first and not allow things to get in the way between you and your heavenly and our heavenly Father. When the kids are being kids, help them to be godly kids. Let them see God in you that they may not doubt your love, your mercy, and your love for the Lord. I tell you something this morning, church. When fathers learn to be fathers, fathers learn to be godly fathers, that's going to cut out a lot of the juvenile delinquency. That's going to be a good start in cutting it out. When fathers learn to be godly fathers, that's going to put a foundation in the children to be good children. When fathers learn to be godly children, that's going to set up, you know, and the kids are going to wonder to themselves, now that's not the way that my father would have handled this situation. Do you know how good it is to have pleasant memories of your father? A father that's with his children will usually be a better father than one who is away from his children. And I tell you another thing about this, church. When you are a godly father, not only will your children look up to you, but your neighbors will start to think twice. You know, you don't know who you affect when you are a godly person. When your neighbors see you leaving with your Bible under your arm, they think to themselves, either they know about you or they think you are a good person. They think you are a Christian person. When you treat your children right, they begin to think within themselves, he's a good father. But I tell you something else, church. The best fathers in the world are fathers who show love to their children. The best fathers in the world are fathers who care and instill the Word of God in their children. And when you think about it, what other love do you want your children to have other than the love of God instilled in them through a loving father? When you think about it, I know what they say today. You should have bought your father a tie. Or you should have bought your father some matching socks to go with that tie that you bought him. But every father may not need a tie. Every father may not need socks that you buy. Well, so the best thing you can give your father is to let him know that you care about him. Now, I just know that any father who cares about his children would care to hear his children say, "Daddy, I love you." And don't you feel good when somebody walk up to you and say, "Your son looks just like you." But wouldn't it be much better if he said to you, "Your son acts just as godly as you do." Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you think about it, church, being an absentee dad is not a priority in life. I know there are many of them, but it's not a priority. It should not be a priority in a Christian's life. Being an absentee dad means that you miss some of the best years of your children's life. Being an absentee dad means that you wasn't there when Junior took his first step, perhaps. Now, I can understand if the Lord calls you home, because none of us are here, are made to be here forever. But when you are here and you're not taking care of your children, you're not being a merciful father. You're not being a good father. You don't seem to care about your children. Do you remember when Jesus came on the scene? Jesus was a man of valor, a man of grace, a man of wisdom, a man of knowledge. And He left many examples for us to follow. And one of them is to be a good father. Now, Jesus wasn't a father, I grant you that much, but He knew how fathers should be. He knew how fathers should react. And He knew the best way to handle children. So this day, today, as it is the Lord's day, call your father. Take your father out to eat. I don't care if you take him to McDonald's. Just the fact that you cared enough to take him out. I don't care if your father is 1,500 miles away. Pick up the telephone and call him. And say something nice to him. Pick up the phone and call him and say, "Daddy, I just want to say that I care about you. I love you." I got a call from my great-granddaughter this morning before I left. I was surprised to hear from my granddaughter, but she put my great-granddaughter on the phone. And I realized within myself that this is a wonderful thing. But if you're not the kind of dad that, if you don't have the kind of dad that you want to call, make an exception. Call him anyhow. Call him and just let him know that there are some good things in life. And that no matter what you did to me, "Daddy, if you want me to, I'll forgive you." But doesn't the Bible teach us on forgiveness? The Bible teaches, and somebody said, "Well, I already forgave him one time." Well, does the Bible tell you how many times you're supposed to give? What does it say? 7 times 70. So in other words, just keep on forgiving. When love is available, use it. Take care of your father, just like I told you on Mother's Day. Take him out to dinner. He don't eat that much. And if he eats a lot, take him to a buffet. But just take him out. Just let him know. Let your father know that he should be merciful to you, just as the Lord, our Heavenly Father, is merciful unto us. How do I pull in and reap that benefit of that mercifulness that the Lord has for me? Well, you become a Christian. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Oh, what a day it is to be baptized. It's muggy outside. You can cool off. But best of all, you'll be meeting the blood of Jesus through the water. You'll be baptized for the remission of your sin. And if you've done that, and you some kind of way, you've kind of slipped backwards, And I don't want to burst your bubble, but Christians do slip backwards. Sometimes we don't think that we slip backwards, but we can and we do. Sometimes it's just something that you said. Sometimes it's something, it's the way you said something. Sometimes it's the way you walk. Sometimes it's your action. You know, when you, like when you're out there driving and you wave at somebody with one finger, you didn't think that was wrong. But you know what I'm talking about. So, if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation, you can come forward and ask the Lord for His forgiveness.
Number 520, only a step. Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me.